1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Yesterday, right after we went off the air, Murray State men's basketball via GoRacers.com released its 2015-16 basketball schedule. It'll be the inaugural season for Matt McMahon as the new head coach, replacing Steve Frome. And it's a busy schedule, pretty favorable in terms of your chances to see the Racers in home games. There's 15 games at home at the CFSB Center, so that's good. The Racers also, if you're looking for a little Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving getaway, it's the Gulf Coast Showcase that'll take place Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. So that's pretty nice. And there'll be home games against Middle Tennessee, Evansville, and Southern Illinois. So some nice incoming opponents. And we're going to go down the list, at least until we get to OVC play game by game. There we'll kind of do it team by team as to what you can expect. And we'll get caught up with the rest of the sports in just a bit. But let's just go down the list of what we will be seeing. First of all, the Racers will open on November 5th when they take on Freed Hardeman. Freed Hardeman, the opponent, an NAIA school. The Racers have played them before, and they have played them in regular season games and in exhibition games. Freed Hardeman's policy, whenever they're playing a team outside of NAIA, they don't count it. So it's always an exhibition game for them. But for the Racers, it will be for them this season. Now, this is a Freed Hardeman team that could be dangerous as an exhibition opponent for this reason alone. They're going to come in 28-4. They returned seven seniors off that team that went to the NAIA National Tournament where they lost in the first round. And remember, the Racers have one returning starter in Jeffrey Moss. So the Racers, they're going to go up against a pretty experienced team, a veteran team, and that's who they'll play their exhibition game against. So usually those are yawners, to be honest. From a talent standpoint, the Racers will put more talent on the floor, but in terms of experience, it won't even be close when the Racers take on Freed Hardeman. So that's the first opponent, although it will not go in the record books. The first one that does is a little safer when the Racers open up against Harris Stowe. That will be on the 13th. That's the first day that teams are allowed to play. I'm not a real happy person with that. It's on a Friday night that directly interferes with high school basketball, but it is what it is. I kept awaiting a call to get my opinion. I never got one from the NCAA, so that's what you have. So anyhow, Harris Stowe, the season opener, that's at the bank. And this is a team 6-23. They're the opposite of Freed Hardman. They're coming off a bad year, and they don't have any seniors on the team. They do return their two top scorers in Trevor Roberts and Jalen Fletcher, but in all honesty, even with the Racers' thin experience to begin the season, this one should go the Racers' way. Middle Tennessee, the next opponent, one of the worst shooting performances I've ever seen a team have on their own floor was last year when the Racers went to the Murphy Center and crushed Middle Tennessee. And yes, the Racers played well defensively. I remember it, but quite honestly, when Middle Tennessee got wide open shots, they couldn't hit those either. They were just horrible. From three-point range, I think they maybe made one of however zillion they made, or they may not have even made any. I don't know, but it was as horrendous as it gets from three-point range, and the Racers able to win that one. But this is a Middle Tennessee team that really rebounded and had a good season when you consider the start they had. They ended up 19-16. They did lose three seniors off that team, but they're coming in with some early experience like the Racers, who played in Canada. They had a Bahamas trip. They were able to go to the Conference USA Championship game where they lost to UAB, but that nice record earned them a spot in the CIT where they lost in the opening round to Kent State. And still, considering the start they had to finish 19-16, that's pretty good. The Racers then will take on an NCAA opponent in Georgia. Back-to-back 20-win seasons for Georgia. The Bulldogs last year, 21-12. They did lose their leading scorer in Marcus Thornton, but they returned Charles Mann and Kenny Gaines. Be a tough opponent in an SEC environment on a Friday night. The Racers taking on Georgia on the 20th of November. And then the next week, in fact, the Racers will go to Atlanta, fly to Fort Myers, Florida, and bus to Estero, Florida, and will play in the Gulf Coast Showcase. We know the first opponent, Milwaukee, 14-16. They did lose their leading scorer, Steve McWhorter, 14.2 points per game. But it's a team that really ended strong. They won five of their last six games, and they only lost basically one player that did anything, and that was McWhorter off that team. So they will have a lot of experience coming in and probably poised to be a 20-win team based on what they return and what they recruited. Game two, we're not going to go too much further in terms of personnel, but it'll be either Duquesne, a 12-19 team from last year that returned four of five starters, or Pepperdine, who is an 18-14 team. They returned their top two players from our top two scores and two top two players from that team. And we don't know as far as the third game. We won't really go into those particular opponents, but it'll be either Drake, Central Michigan, Western Kentucky, or Weber State. Saturday of Thanksgiving week, the Racers are back home. They take on Alabama A&M. This is a team that's 9-20, but they have everybody back, all the starters back for that Alabama A&M team. You remember the Houston team that came in here last year. I was pretty impressed with what I saw out of them. The Racers blew a late lead. Houston won. I thought they would go on and win 18-20 games. They didn't. They really stumbled, hit the skids, finished 13-19, but they have four seniors coming back off that team, including four of five starters. They did lose Gerard Stiggers, the leading scorer from the team, but they have everybody else back and some nice recruits to fill in there as well. Then it's pretty much the Missouri Valley Conference Tour after we play the Houston game, Evansville, Illinois State, and SIU. The Evansville contest is at the CFSB Center on the 5th of December. Evansville comes in off a 24-12 season. They went to the CIT championship game. They lost to Northern Arizona. They returned their top two players. I mean, this kid's fun to watch. If you didn't get to go see DJ Ballantyne, he will be a treat. Make your plans to be at the CFSB Center December 5th. Ballantyne, he is a fun guy to watch. Also, Agegius McCavages, their big 7-foot dude, played in the World University Games this past summer. He's going to be back, too, so they'll have an inside-outside punch. It took all the Racers could do to escape with a victory, but it was a confidence-building victory last year when the Racers used a little bit of trickery to get Jonathan Farrell underneath. He hits the shot with just a little time left, and Evansville didn't get their final shot off, and the Racers end up with the victory. Then another team the Racers beat last year at the CFSB Center, they have to return this one as they go to Normal, Illinois to take on Illinois State. This is another team coming off a 20-win season, 22-13. They did lose Deshaun Knight, but they do have Akun Purcell coming back off Devon Akun Purcell. I think he was injured either when the Racers played them or shortly thereafter. But they're also a very loaded team. They'll come in to that game off a 22-13 season. Then SIU on the 18th. That's back at the CFSB Center, 18th of December. The Salukis, 12-21. That's kind of a program almost in turmoil. Barry Hinson, the head coach, five players transferred out, but he does have his number one scorer, Anthony Bean, back. Wright State, the team that used to be really good out of Dayton, Ohio. The Racers begin a four-year series with two games home, two games away over that four-year spot alternating. The Racers will play at the Nutter Center to start things off on December 22nd. Wright State coming off a 20-loss season, 11-20, but they return their leading scorer, JT Yoho, and also three seniors to go along with him, so they will be pretty good. The Racers on December 30th have a money game the opposite way. They'll pay a little cash for Brescia to come in as former racer director of basketball operations, I believe was his title. I might be wrong on that, but I believe that's what he was. Josh Gibson comes in, and Josh is now the head coach at Brescia. He brings the team coming off a 19-11 season. Wasn't able to pull their roster up. I'm not exactly sure what they have coming back for next year. Then it's on to OVC play, and the Racers begin with three straight home games at the CFSB Center. Morehead State on the 2nd, Tennessee Tech on the 7th, and Jacksonville State coming in on the 9th. Morehead coming off a 17-17 season. Some tough losses for them personnel-wise, losing Billy Reeder inside, Kareem Story, and also Karam Mashour. Three really good players. Morehead playing extremely well. Racers fortunate to get by them in the OVC tournament. Then it's Tennessee Tech coming off a 12-18 year. They lost Javon McKay, Dwan Caldwell. Not sure what Tech will do. They have not been impressive for a while, to be quite honest about that. Jacksonville State will come in. They are 12-19. They lost four seniors off that team. They come into the CFSB Center. Honestly, they usually always play the Racers tough, but the Racers have beaten them all but one time. But they'll come in off a 12-19 season. The team that I expect to be picked to win the league is Belmont. They're coming off a 22-11 year. Of course, beat the Racers in the OVC tournament when Taylor Barnett hit the three fadeaway, and Belmont goes on for that. He's back. Evan Brads is back. Craig Bradshaw is back. They did lose Reese Chamberlain, but they're loaded. Got a couple of good recruits coming in. They will be the team to beat. I don't think there's any doubt about that, coming in off a 22-11 season. The opposite of that, Tennessee State, 5-26. That's the next opponent after the 14th of January game against Belmont. It is Tennessee State on the 16th of January. 16th of January for Tennessee State. 5-26. They did lose Jay Harris, but they have everybody else back off that team that did go 5-26. So I'm not sure if you call that good news or bad news if you're a Tennessee State fan. Again, with the divisions, you only play those teams once. So the Racers then come back to take on Eastern Illinois and SIU Edwardsville at the CFSB Center. EIU with a resurgent year last year under Jay Spoonhour, 18-15. They did lose Reggie Smith off that squad. Also, Chris Olivier, big guy inside, very impressive player, transferred. How good is he? He transferred to Oklahoma State. So that's how good he is. That's one of the players, a key player for Eastern Illinois last year. Missed some times with injuries down the stretch. So they don't have him. That's a big loss, he and Reggie Smith. But they do have the little playmaker, Cornell Johnson, back. TJ Sapp did a great job shutting him down. Who will get that assignment this year? Not sure. They also have Trey Anderson on the inside. Jay Spooner, one of my favorite new coaches. I really like him. And it's really great to have him in the league, and good to see him have some success there. SIU Edwardsville, they'll have a new coach. Lennox Forrester was shown the door. 12-16 squad last year. They have some key losses as well with Mike Messier, Maurice Wiltz, Roselle Nunn, and the Chris Davis kid all off that team due to graduation. So they'll be in a rebuilding year. And, again, they're one of those teams. They always played the Racers tough, but the Racers rarely did lose. A new regime at Eastern Kentucky with Jeff Neubauer heading out the door for a new job to be Fordham's head coach. And last year, Eric Stutz, Corey Walden, key members of that team, they're gone along with Timmy Nipp. So new personnel will come in off for Eastern Kentucky along with a new coach off a 21-12 record. The surprise team of last year, Tennessee Martin, Heath Schroyer did a wonderful job. Did lose DeVille Smith, who was as good as about any player in the league. I really liked watching him play. Also, Marshawn Newell off the team. But Martin returns a lot of really solid pieces. Miles Taylor, provided he got his red shirt, I assume he did. He will be back, should be injury-free for his senior season. UTM 21-13 last year. Austin Peay, a lot of folks ask, will Dave Luce return? Yes, he is back. This may be the do-or-die year. I don't know. They've had some changes on the coaching staff. They lost Chris Freeman. They lost Ed Dyson. Demaryius Smith, I think, also lost him. an 8-22 season for Austin Peay. And new coach also, as Dickey Nutt was shown the door as well. Southeast Missouri, 13-17 last year. And folks, when you take a look at the talent that team had, I don't understand that at all. But Langford, Nino Johnson, Jericus Bradley, all lost off that team. Just never really understood why that team didn't win more. In terms of just talent, running them out there, they had as much as any team in the OVC in terms of their starting five when they put their best players on the floor. So that's kind of what we have. Of course, the Racers will play teams within their division twice, outside the division just the one time. And should be in the hunt, but UT Martin's going to give the Racers a tussle, as will Eastern Illinois. It won't be easy. It never is. Conference play is always fun. A very solid schedule for the Racers, and a little bit of a thumbnail sketch as to what you can expect this season. So that's basketball. Football is in the books as well. And yesterday, Parker Griffith with GoRacers.com. He is the football contact. He talked with Jonathan Jackson about the Racer defense. Parker, take it away.
JJ, you had a big season last year. Maybe didn't get the recognition a lot of people, including myself, thought you deserved. But just talk a little bit about that, coming into this year with a chip on your shoulder, and how you improve on those big numbers from last year.
Yes, sir. Well, last year's behind us. You know, I just wanted to use that as motivation going through the off season and during training and this summer, and just putting out my best effort every day, and just using that as fuel to get the best out of myself every day, and just to better myself for the team this year.
JJ, last year you played every game but one. You missed one for the birth of your son. And that game, your backup, St. Pierre and Alice, came in, had 18 tackles. Talk about, obviously you don't want to miss a game, but talk about the luxury you have in somebody like that being able to step up if things don't go our way.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. You know, we got, as a team, we got to have the next man up mentality. And, you know, the new coaches, as well as Coach Stewart and the guys that have been here, they've really instilled that into us this offseason. And I feel like everybody's bought into it, so we can be more deep than just the ones and the twos. Everybody will be ready to play.
Last question, JJ. One of the knocks on the Murray State program past couple of years has been defense. You know that it's always talked about. But new scheme, new coach this year. You're playing quite a few teams from last year. What is the one thing when they step on that field? What's the first difference they're going to notice on our defense?
You know, I feel like we came up with a new edge about ourselves, you know, and that doesn't come with just saying we're going to play harder and things like that. It's actually from putting in the work. And, you know, this offseason we put in the work. The whole team was here in the month of July, and a whole bunch more of that was here during the month of May, too. So I feel like we put in the work, and we're ready to go out there and play.
JJ, thanks for joining us. That'll do it for us here on GoRacers.com.
Thanks again to Parker Griffith with GoRacers.com for that report. You can always check out the video of that. Watch them anytime you want at GoRacers.com. We also have the Murray State videos on the front page of our website at 1340WNBS.com. Kentucky's SEC basketball slate released yesterday. The Cats will play all 13 SEC teams at least once during league play. In addition to rematches with Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, LSU, and Vanderbilt in 2016, Kentucky will play 18 conference games from early January to early March, capped off with the SEC tournament in Nashville, March 9th through 13th. Kentucky will hit the road early and often to start league play, with four of the first six SEC games away from Rupp Arena after they tip off the SEC schedule in Rupp against Ole Miss January 2nd. The Cats visit LSU January 5th, Alabama January 9th, Auburn the 16th, and Arkansas the 21st. There is a home game on January 12th at Rupp to break up the early season travel. Conference play concludes with a trip to Florida on March 1st, but that's not the finale. Kind of a change there. And the season's final home game will be March 5th against LSU. Remember, there's no Billy Donovan at Florida, so a little different there. Some more good news today for Kentucky fans, as we learned from allkentuckyhoops.com that Kentucky has signed 6'10 power forward Isaac Humphries for the 2015-16 season. Humphries ranked number 35 on the rivals.com list for 2016. He will reclassify to the class of 2015 and join the team this season. John Calipari, I saw one video clip from him a few weeks ago where he said that this next season's not this one, but the one after this, it has the potential to maybe one of their best ever in terms of recruiting. Another UK note, the Football Writers Association of America has come out with its 75th anniversary All-American team, and former University of Kentucky wide receiver Derek Abney made the list as a third-team return specialist behind Nebraska's Johnny Rogers and Notre Dame's Rocket Ismail. Abney, the only player from UK on the list. He played at UK from 2000 through 2003, caught 197 passes for over 2,300 yards and 18 touchdowns. He averaged 24.4 yards on 95 kickoff returns and 11.8 yards on punt returns with 6 touchdowns, one of those against the Murray State Racers. I called that one. I remember, why are we kicking to Derek Abney? And he caught it and into the end zone. Murray State head softball coach Kara Amundson has announced a series of clinics for the fall of 2015, each session $40. It'll take place at the Murray State softball field. Spaces in each session limited, but participants are welcome to participate in as many sessions as they wish. Hitting clinics will be coached by assistant coach Ashley Gillian, and pitching clinics coached by assistant coach Kristen Emmerling. You can find out more and sign up at goracers.com. Marshall County and Murray High both ranked in the first Kentucky High School Girls Soccer Coaches Association poll of the season. Lady Marshall's ranked 17th, Lady Tigers 24th. Marshall County, as you may recall, claimed the first region championship by beating Murray in the championship match last year. All right, let's take a look at what we have today. High school soccer doubleheaders, Murray High at Marshall County, St. Mary at Graves County, Lyon County at Dawson Springs. On the boys' side, Callaway County hits the road, opening the season at Christian County. McCracken is at Madisonville, Mayfield at Trigg, Webster at Caldwell. On the girls' side, Trigg County is at Callaway County, Tillman's at Christian County, Caldwell County at McCracken County, and Union County at Crittenden County. High school volleyball, Murray High on the road at Graves County, Hickman County on the road at Callaway County, Tillman is at Christian Fellowship, St. Mary is at Community Christian Academy, Ballard Memorial at Marshall County, Fulton City at Carlisle County, and Mayfield is at Fulton County. Tomorrow night, we will add football to the mix. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Cardinals took the rubber match of their three-game series with the Giants 4-3 at Busch Stadium last night. Yadier Molina's solo homer in the bottom of the eighth. The difference, it was his 100th career homer, fourth of the season for number four. And Yadi, the last two homers he's hit, they have been crushed. I mean, maybe two of the longest he's ever hit. Steven Piscotty hit a home run and was robbed of another. Reliever Kevin Segrist gets his fifth win. Trevor Rosenthal notched his 38th save. The Cardinals with a travel day today as they begin a 10-game road trip out west. And here's honestly the concern for me. With all these injuries beginning to stack up, will this be the trip that gets them? So far, they've been able to somehow stave it off. Somebody steps up and does a great job. Can that continue to happen? We'll find out. That's what makes baseball fun. It's the long haul thing. You can't have a hot 10 or 20 games and wave a flag. You got to go the whole year. And for the Cardinals, another challenge coming up. They will also play 4 at Arizona, 3 at San Francisco on this trip after, of course, beginning it at San Diego. Down on the farm, the Memphis Redbirds got knocked for 14 hits and an 8-1 loss to El Paso at AutoZone Park. Second of a four-game series is tonight. Rams head coach Jeff Fisher says he's pleased with the results of two joint practices with the Cowboys this week in Oxnard, California. Despite a brawl, no one got hurt, and both teams got a lot of work done. The Rams focusing on preseason game number 2, as are the Tennessee Titans. And as it turns out, they play one another. The Titans getting set to host the Rams Sunday night in Tennessee. The Rams lost their exhibition opener at Oakland, while the Titans dropped their friendly opener at Atlanta. The Memphis Tigers basketball program will not host its annual Memphis Madness event this season. Tiger head coach Josh Pastner says they are replacing their marquee season opening event with a free fan appreciation day that will be open to everyone. A date for that has not been set. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the show today. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll have a show that's a little football heavy tomorrow. Murray State's football scrimmage coming up on Saturday. We'll tell you about that and more coming up on Friday's edition of the Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.